الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد فقد روي عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إن الله يبعث لهذه الأمة على رأس مئة كل سنة من يجدد لها دينها My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have just quoted the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is reported in a number of books of hadith. In this hadith, Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that it is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a practice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at the beginning of every century, at the beginning of every 100 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to this ummah, Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person who revives for the Ummah the religious or the deen of Islam. This has been foretold by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that at the beginning of each and every century there will come a person sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who revives the deen for this ummah. And that person in Islamic terminology is called a mujaddid, a revival. It means that during the century there may come certain corruptions of the deen, and there may come forward many people who distort the beliefs of deen, the practice of deen. They interpret the deen not according to the dictates of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but according to their own whims and desires. So in order to clarify the correct position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a person at the beginning of every century who corrects these errors and presents the being in its true perspective. Who is God as Buddha? And in fact, many Mujahideen came in this Ummah, and it is agreed upon by all the scholars that the first Mujahideen of this Ummah was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, who took the rule of the Ummah in a state of corruption that had crept into the Khilafat of Banu Umayyah. So in the same manner, at the beginning of every century, that person may be a serious person, and it may also be a group of persons who perform this obligation of revival of sin. And there are many books of Islamic scholars in which they have mentioned who are the Mujahideen of which century. In our last century, that is 14th century, it is normally recognized by the ulama of subcontinent that the Mujahideen of this century, that 14th century, was the ulama Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Shah Khan. Some say that the Mujahideen of this century was a group of persons who educated the deen in Darul Uloom Deoband and in Darul Uloom Darulfur and such as other Islamic institutions. This group collectively was the Mujahideen of this century. But if you want to single out a person from this group, it is probably the Hasibul Maharaj Mahara who deserves to be a Mujahideen. And it happens like this, that Hazrat Hasibul Maharaj Mahara was educated in Darul Uloom of Deoband, and during his education, while he was very young, he, according to his aunt, he used to pray Tahajjud from a very young age, and when he was a child, his prayer was that he used to go to a masjid and climb over the minbar and said some few words and then came down. It seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was training him for giving mawaid to this ummah. When he was graduated from Darul Uloom of Deoband and was firstly appointed in the Madrasa of Darul Uloom Kanpur, it was the year of 1301 of Hijra. 1301. So that is why, and that year was in which he started his novel work of teaching Islam and explaining the Islamic teachings to the people through his mawaid and through his tadreez in Darul Uloom of Kanpur. That is why many people are of the view that the Mujahideen of this century was the Hakimul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, for which this August forum has been, this August meeting has been convened to throw some light on the life and work of Hazrat Maulana Acharya Bharatiya Sthan. In fact, the work of Mother Bharana Acharya Bharatiya Sthan widely spread in the subcontinent of India and Pakistan and Bangladesh, and mostly the people are aware of the noble work he has done for the Ummah. But as my brother Maulana Muhammad was telling you, he told me that Hazrat Hakimul Ummah Maulana Sami Rahmatullah has in fact revived all the aspects of these. Probably he was the first person to say that Islam consists of five different spheres. One is abide, that is belief. Second is ibadat, that act of worship. Third is muamalat, that is the commercial transaction or financial transaction. And fourthly, muhajar, how to live with each other. What are the interests of Sharia while we live with each other? The rights of the relatives, the rights of the friends, the rights of the neighbor. So these are matters. And the fifth sphere is of akhlaq, moral quality of a person. Islam is the name of fulfilling the obligations of Sharia in all these five spheres. And it is very unfortunate that many Muslims, many non-Muslims have propagated this crisis and many Muslims have accepted it, that the deen is restricted to the abaya and ibadah only, that is belief and act of worship. So a Muslim is only a Muslim in a masjid when he performs salah. But we go out of the masjid, go to the marketplace, or live with each other, he forgets what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah has ordered us to do. So Hazrat Maulana Acharya Bharatiya Sthan Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, may Allah bless his soul, he explained the Islam as a whole. Ya ayyuhal ladheena aamanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, or those who believe, enter Islam totally. Totally means that it is not enough that you are Muslim when you are in a masjid. You are Muslim everywhere. Therefore, Hazrat Maulana Acharya Bharatiya Sthan Rahmatullah Alayh has explained all these five aspects of Islamic Sharia in aqaid. In aqaid belief, there was many distortions in aqaid that crept into the Muslim society. Many people believe in bid'ah, khurafat, and in some modern theories, and they believe that Islam in our age is something different from Islam that was in the days of Holy Prophet. The term of modern Islam has been invented to say that Islam in this century or in our age should be different from what it was in the days of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the days of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een. So the term modern Islam has been invented. And it was the age in which Western philosophy and Western culture was dominant over in the entire world, including Muslim world. Therefore, there was a group of people who said that whatever thought came to the light through the Western philosophy, they accepted it wholeheartedly, and when they found that this is against the Quran, Holy Quran, or against the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to distort the meaning of the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make it in accordance with the Western philosophy. These people are called modernists or modern thinkers. For example, there was Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan, who wrote a commentary on the Holy Quran, in which he refused that there was something to be called miracles of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the basis of the philosophy that was predominant in that time, that is naturalism. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Shah Thani Rahmatullah Alayh said that these distortions are coming through the philosophy and through the new philosophy or modern philosophy that was taught by the Western idea. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Shah Thani Rahmatullah Alayh has written a very pertinent book in the name of Al-Intibahat al-Mubila, Jahal al-Shubahat al-Jadila. This is a book lesson and consists only of 100 or 200 pages. But I have studied it, and if you study it deeply, you will find that all the basic ideas that caused the modernists to distort the meaning of the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet are fully dealt with in this book. And that is why I got it translated into English, and it was published with the name of Answer to Modernism. Answer to Modernism. If you read that book, you will find that all the basic principles, the ignorance of which led the people go astray, are fully explained and fully refuted in a logical manner. So this was done by Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Shah Thani Rahmatullah Alayh in the field of aqaid. For example, once Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Shah Thani Rahmatullah Alayh was traveling in a train. A modern Muslim was also present there. He asked, Maulana, it is mentioned by the Holy Quran that on the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, the organ of a man will speak and will give testimony against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the kuffar will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will deny that they have ever committed kufr or they have committed any sinful act. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let the hand and the leg to speak and give testimony and testify against the very person whose legs are. So, this is not this does not come to our mind. How would the legs and hands, the feet, without tongue? And legs do not have tongue. And hands do not have tongue to speak. How will they speak without tongue? Manashavari Kandhi Rasulare in India asked him, how the tongue speaks without tongue? How the tongue speaks without tongue? It means that if you presume that speaking is restricted to the tongue only, then the tongue should not speak without another tongue, and that tongue could not speak without another tongue, and so on. So he kept quiet. One of them and then, has ever happened before? And such even that a leg speaks and hand speaks, has this even ever happened before? So Marana, aap Daleel poochte hain ke Nazeem poochte hain? Are you asking me about the proof of something or about the prediction? Because there may be many things that do not have any precedent. If every precedent, everything requires a precedent, then the first thing that happens has no precedent at all. So therefore, if you do not find a precedent for a thing, then you cannot deny it only because it has no precedent before. So he said, then Varana, what is the Daleel of this being, apart from the Holy Quran, is there any Daleel to prove that the leg and the hand will be free? Varana said, the Daleel is that this is aqlan mumkin hai, aur naqlan mukhbir sadiq ne khabar diya. अकलन मुमकिन है और नकल मुखबिर साजिद ने खबर अकलन मुमकिन है यानी इट इज नॉट इम्पॉसिबल यानी इट इज वन ऑफ द बेसिक एरर ऑफ द मॉडर्न फिलोसफी इज दैट इट हैज मेड इम्प्रोबेबल थिंग एंड इम्पॉसिबल समथिंग मे बी इम्प्रोबेबल बट इट इज इम्पॉसिबल सो इट इज पॉसिबल Because there is no tahala, there is no muhala in this. So this is possible, rational, and a mukhbir sadiq, and Rasulullah has told us about it. For example, you did not see North Pole or South Pole with your eyes. But there are persons who have seen it and have told you about this. So this is a Mukhbir, the cover of Mukhbir Sadiq that proves that it is not impossible. So this is possible, rationally, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are Mukhbir Sadiq, true persons, they have told us about it. In this manner, he has picked up the basis of the strain of the modern philosophy and has explained how the beliefs of Islam are in accordance with reason. So this is a very exhaustive book. That is answer to one. So, alhamdulillah, it has been translated into English and by brother who speaks English may benefit from it. Alhamdulillah. So, this is in the field of ibadah. In the field of ibadah, Hazrat Maulana Shabani Sahib Khan, Rahmatullah, there were many when he prays and tafreeq in ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him tawfeeq to explain the real essence of ibadah. For example, in his teaching, you do not find any disappointment from God, any person. He used to say that people are not very often worried about the khushu' and salah. They are worried that they also they perform salah, but their salah is deprived of khushu'. So Hazrat Maulana Khan explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not ordered us for anything that is not practicable for us, or not without or beyond our control. So the main thing in khushu' is that you concentrate yourself to the words you are uttering from your mouth. When you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you should attend to these words. When you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, you attend to these words. But if there some khayalat, some thoughts without your control, then you are forgiven by Allah. And when you feel that you have gone to other thoughts, you come back to these words you are uttering from your mouth. This is enough for you. And you should not undervalue your act of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you tawfiq to this ibadah. So make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after paying shukr to Allah that He gave you tawfiq to do this ibadah, you make istighfar for your own fault during performance of this salah. That is why Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, when a person after performing an ibadah says, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah, then he made the Satan go away. Because Alhamdulillah, when he says Alhamdulillah, it means that I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given me the tawfiq to perform this salah. There are many people who have no such tawfiq. Therefore, Alhamdulillah. So far as my fault and my deficiency during performance of salah, for that I made the dhabar of Astaghfirullah. So that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after performing salah, used to say, Astaghfirullah, 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 three times. So such things have been explained by the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his books, in his khabar. Then comes Mu'amalat, the commercial transaction and financial transaction. In this field also, Hazrat Maulana Ramchandrai Warek was very strict and very pertinent about correcting the Mu'amala. Some examples have been mentioned by my brother Maulana Muhammad Sahib. Then comes the Mu'asarat. In Mu'asarat also, Hazrat Maulana used to teach at his khanqah in Khana Bhavan. Was, in fact, a place in which he trained the people. And all the ibadat, in Mu'amalat, in Mu'asarat, in Akhlaq, everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hazrat Maulana Chawdhary Sahib Thani Rahmatullah Alayh a reviver in all these four five aspects of Islamic Sharia. And particularly in the field of akhlaq, that is the fifth sphere of sharia, akhlaq. This akhlaq has been fully expressed in the science of tasawwuf, but tasawwuf in the days of Hazrat Maulana Shaukat Ali Sangari Rahmatullah Alayh was also distorted by many people who misinterpreted tasawwuf, and they said that tasawwuf is something against sharia or something parallel to sharia. So much so that there are many so-called Sufis in our country. Some of them used to have some drugs, and they say that after taking these drugs, we are more concentrated in our meditation, and we are more concentrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people objected that this is haram. They say, Maulaniya to haram, Sufiya to haram. it is haram and prohibited for ulama, but it is not prohibited for Sufi. So, they distorted Sufism in a way that they took it as something parallel to sharia, and they say that once a person is involved in the tasawwuf,